Well, may Almighty God be with us for a few moments this evening as we meditate in his holy word. And let's turn to the 23rd Psalm, the book of Psalms, and Psalm 23, and we'll read the last verse, which is verse 6. So Psalm 23 and reading verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. These were the words of God's servant David. David did not have an easy life. And yet David had faith to believe that his God, who had been with him on so many occasions, we only have to read those times, especially in the book of Samuel, where we read how God appeared for him again and again. And yet we know also that David was left to himself and sinned very sorely against Almighty God. And yet he could come and could confess his sins, and we won't go through it tonight, but the 51st Psalm describes very clearly the repentance that David was blessed with. And how true it is that each one of us, as we look back in our lives, realize there are many things that we have done which we should not have done, and many times that we need that godly repentance to be able to come to our God and confess our sins. And the Word of God tells us very encouragingly, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that is because of the mercy of God. We cannot deserve such blessings in and of ourselves, but it's because we have a compassionate God. And to realize so that God has ordained blessings that we could not produce ourselves. And so we have the life of David, and as we look at David's life, we see how gracious God was towards him. And it's wonderful that he was able to write this psalm. We know, of course, that he was a shepherd. He'd been a shepherd and watched over his sheep. He knew how difficult sometimes sheep were, and yet he knew the picture. And that's why he's able to draw this wonderful analogy and speak from his heart and be able to say, and it's good if you and I can come and humbly say with David, the Lord is my shepherd. We need the Lord to be our shepherd. Our heavenly shepherd. We don't want to just carry on in this world careless and not concerned. We need to have the evidence that David did, that the Lord was his shepherd. And because he had the evidence that God had watched over him and delivered him, been round about him, instructed him, guided him, comforted him, he's able to come and say, I shall not want. You know, there are many things that you and I perhaps want in our life. And yet we have to come and be brought to that position where we recognize there is but one thing needful. One thing. We may be concerned very often about the poor things of this life. the poor things of this life which every one of us will have to leave when we come to the day of our death. We cannot take anything with us. And therefore, what a wonderful blessing it is if God has given us the evidence, the testimony of his grace, the free, unmerited favour of God toward us. That which we never deserved. David never deserved it. And we don't deserve it. And yet, you see, to come and realise that God has watched over us. And it's very humbling, I often think, to realise that God's watched over us ever since we were born. Indeed, when we were conceived, God was in control. God knew all about us. God knew where we would live. God knows what we will do. And God knows where we shall go when we finish our life on this earth. So, what a blessing it is to have that confidence. And it's a God-given confidence. It's not something that you and I can produce ourselves. But here David says, the Lord is my shepherd. He had the evidence that God had led him, that God had directed him, and God was with him. And in our little lives, we need to know that God is our heavenly shepherd. And he's guiding us, and he's directing us. And if that is so, like it was in the case of David, he was able to say with that humble confidence, I shall not want. Isn't it wonderful to think that eternally, if God is our shepherd, he will lead us in that right way. He will direct us through this life and will give us all that we need in our natural life. And above that, give us that wonderful gift of eternal life. And that's the great need we have. The great need we have to know that God has given to us that great gift of eternal life. We can possess everything in this world, and it will not do us any good in eternity. But my friends, to know the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified as our Saviour is the greatest blessing and the greatest gift that you and I can receive, because it is an eternal blessing. The things of time fade away. Those blessings which are eternal do not fade. They last through eternity. And eternity has no end. So it is a blessing that God gives forever and ever. Well, how wonderful it is. That's why David was able to continue and come down to this last concluding verse and say with a humble confidence, therefore surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He was able to say that because of the evidence that God had blessed him with through his life. Difficult life that he had, and all the opposition that he was faced with, and yet to realise he was able to come and say with a confidence in his God, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, the word of God is written for our instruction. It's written for our encouragement. And it sets before us a wonderful example and a wonderful testimony. And it's something that you and I should covet, should desire to be blessed with. Such a wonderful testimony as this, and be able to say, for the honour and glory of God, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You think of that. Every day in our life, God's goodness and mercy is with us. All the times when we walk contrary to God, when perhaps we've turned our back upon God, perhaps we've said, I will not have this man to rule over me. We are hard-hearted. We have not submitted ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And yet to realize that God has not dealt with us as our sins deserve. It's because of his grace. It's because of his love. It's because of his mercy. That's why David is able to describe it so clearly. Surely, goodness and mercy. They're joined together, really. Goodness and mercy. Because if we know the mercy of God, it's because he's showing to us his goodness. He's showing to us how he's looked upon us. How he's watched over us. Watched over us, perhaps, when we walked contrary to him. He hasn't cut us off. He hasn't cast us off. And perhaps it's true, as a hymn writer says, his love in time past. His love in time past means that he won't leave us and he won't forsake us, because once in him forever. God doesn't bless us and then cast us away. No, but he loves us with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness draws us to him. And so it's not surprising, therefore, that David's able to explain his life. He tells us, he maketh me. You see, he's written this in a very personal way, hasn't he? He starts off, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's good, you know, when we can speak in a similar vein, because we each need a personal religion with God. We each need to know that personal relationship with God. And so he's able to tell us, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Again, we see, what do we see there? God's goodness and God's mercy. There we are, walking in this difficult world with so many things to distract us, so many things to turn us away from the things of God. And yet David's able to come and declare, he maketh me. Yes, perhaps we wouldn't be willing ourselves. No, we're very carnal, very worldly minded. And yet God knows where we are. He knows where we're going. And he knows what he will do to us and what he will do with us. And so he's able to come and declare with a humble confidence, he, the Almighty God, maketh me, a poor, unworthy sinner, to lie down in green pastures. Yes, as a shepherd, he knows that the sheep were blessed with that good food, the green pastures. It wasn't a barren area. Green pastures the sheep needed so that they might grow and develop. It's the same with us today. We need in our lives the green pastures of the gospel. Have we thought about that? The green pastures of the gospel. The things that produce spiritual growth. Not things that make us stagnate, but things that enliven our spirits, strengthen us, enable us to press on in this world in which God has caused us to walk today. We might sometimes think, well, I wish I lived in past days when the religion was much more blessed. Well, let's remember that God, in his sovereign purpose and goodness, in the days of Esther, Mordecai told her, when she thought it was a difficult job to do, that she was in the world at that time for such a time as this. And you and I should not rebel. God puts us in the world for such a time as this, that you and I might be a light shining in this dark world and never be ashamed of the gospel, and so be able to come and declare, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." What a God we have. How kind and gracious to think of that. I wonder if you understand what that means, to lie down peacefully under the blessed influence of the Spirit of God, and to rejoice and to feed on heavenly truths and feed upon that great and glorious truth of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, and to have that wonderful evidence that Almighty God has come into this sinful world to take away our sin, to redeem us. It's a wonderful truth. And to think that, as the Apostle Peter says, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. My friends, that's lying down in green pastures. And then he tells us, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." Yes, God knows how to encourage us. We may find that life's difficult. There are many trials, many temptations, but sometimes he leads us. He takes us by the hand. He's so kind and gracious. He doesn't leave us to ourselves, but he leads us. And as we often refer to that glorious 107th Psalm, where we read, "He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation." Left to ourselves, we wouldn't go in the right way, and we wouldn't end up in that glorious habitation. But here we have this statement. David was able to testify, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." Now you see, with these evidences that David is able to describe, it's not surprising, is it, that he comes to this conclusion on the sixth verse. "Surely, therefore, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." He had that humble confidence. "He who has helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through." It was true in David's life. It's true in every child of God's life. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Whatever path the Lord leads us in, it'll be to realize that his goodness and his mercy is with us as we journey on. And the great truth is that the Lord is preparing us, as we read, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, sometimes people are afraid to speak positively about their spiritual state. My friends, David had the evidence that God had led him and was leading him, and therefore he could look forward to that great day when he would leave this earth. As we read in that chapter in Samuel, these be the last words of David. there will be last words in our life. And what a blessing it is if we can come and confirm such words as this, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What is the prospect that you and I have? What are we looking forward to? Are we looking forward to a prosperous life in this world? We are looking forward to gaining this and gaining that. Well, the great blessing is to be looking forward to our eternal home and to be prepared for it. And as we're told, as Paul the Apostle says, "For here we have no continuing city." And that's so true. But it's good if we can continue. But we seek one to come. Now, we will only seek one to come. We'll only be seeking one to come if we are under the blessed influence of this heavenly shepherd, like David was. And therefore he's able to go on and tell us, "He restoreth my soul." We may have got to a very low place. We may perhaps almost seem out of the way. All our evidence is dark. Marks of grace we cannot show. But we have a God who doesn't change. We have a God who is the same yesterday and today and forever. We have a God who's told us, "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." And so we have this gracious God who David is able to exclaim, "He restoreth my soul." You know, you and I can't restore ourselves. We can't make ourselves better. We'd love to, wouldn't we? But if we did, we'd claim the glory for ourselves. God is a jealous God, and he will have all the glory. And that's why he says, "He, the Almighty God, restoreth my soul." That's why he comes down and says, "Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And this goodness and mercy is displayed in such words. "He restoreth my soul." It's a blessing, you know, if you and I can recognize that and realize none less than Almighty God has come where we are. Perhaps we were right down in the muck and the mud, and God's picked us up. Picked us up. Restored us. And then he goes on again and directs us about this leading. The previous verse said, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." And now he says, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." The secret is that the path that God leads us in is for our benefit, but also for his honour and for his glory. Never forget that. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." So that when the Lord does lead us in that path, and we rejoice in that righteousness of the Saviour, that righteousness which he gives to his church, how humbling and wonderful it is, yes, to rejoice in it, to realise that God's done it. We couldn't do it ourselves. Unworthy as we are, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. You see, he leads in that right way, a straight way. There's many crooked paths in this world, many crooked paths that you and I turn into. The Lord has a straight way, and he leads us in it. He leads me, again, personal, As David says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see how he comes through, and we can understand perhaps a little more now why he's able to come with that confidence and say, surely, because of the evidence I have, because of what God's done for me, to such an unworthy sinner, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The Lord will not cast me away. He cannot cast me away because he showed me his mercy. He showed me his goodness. He showed me his love in restoring my soul. And he's done it because of his glory. And he's done it for my eternal good. Oh, my friends, what a God we have. How kind and gracious do we not? And so he comes and tells us, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Again, confidence in his God because of what God had done for him. And it's good, my friends, to be able to look back in our life to see what God has done for us, how God has guided us, how God has blessed us, how he's drawn us to himself, how he's revealed himself unto us as he does not unto the world. That's why, as we come into these times of difficulty, and indeed as David says here, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He's already said the reason for it. He's given us in his words the confidence that he has as he traces God's good hand upon him. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He couldn't deny it. He couldn't deny it. And my friends, let us not deny the work of God. The devil will always try and cause us to doubt God's work. But, you know, if God has given us his word, if he's spoken his word into our heart, it's written there in indelible ink and it cannot be removed. And that gives us that confidence, as David had, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We can't ask, can we, for a greater blessing than that, to have God with us, going with us, helping us, taking us perhaps by our hand, and leading us through the difficult paths, and not casting us off. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You see, he knew what a shepherd was. And the shepherd guided the sheep with a rod and the staff. What a message it is for us. It's a wonderful example. And so he does to unworthy sinners. His rod, his staff, they comfort us. Why? Because it's an evidence of God's love. It's an evidence of God's mercy toward us. And we can rejoice in it, that he hasn't cast us off. He hasn't forgotten us. But he's dealing with us in love to our souls. They comfort me. What comfort it is to know that God is dealing with us. We don't want to just wander on without any evidence that God is leading us and God is dealing with us. And when God's dealing with us, he restores our soul and he does correct us. We make many errors. Sometimes we're self-righteous. Sometimes we think we're right. And God shows us perhaps where we are wrong. He brings us back. brings us back into the fold. We may have wandered out. We may have thought, this is a bit narrow for me. I want to move a bit farther away. My friends, what a mercy when God brings us back into the fold. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not just the odd occasion, but all the days of my life. God watches over us. Isn't that wonderful? Almighty God, the Creator, the ruler of all things, He watches over us. He leads us. What a wonderful mercy it is. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Yes, there are many enemies. But sometimes we find and we prove the devil's our greatest enemy. And sometimes the devil oversteps his mark. He thinks he's being clever. He thinks he's turning us away from God. In reality, he's causing us to turn to God. And therefore, we find, and bless God, that he's a vanquished foe, and that we, unworthy sinners, are more than conquerors, not in our own strength. We are more than conquerors through him, that great and glorious Saviour who gave his life to restore us, gave his life to redeem us. What a great and wonderful Saviour we have. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And then he says, thou anointest my head with oil. It was a clear indication of blessing in these days. Thou anointest my head with oil. Yes, comforting truth that God is with us, that God is directing us, and God is blessing us. And then he says, my cup runneth over. As God enables us to ponder our life, to count our blessings, to trace out the way that the Lord has led us. And we find there's more and more evidence of his wonderful mercy toward us and his great love. And so David is able to declare, with the evidence of these things, my cup runneth over. We're amazed at God's mercy. We're amazed at his goodness. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Our cup runs over at God's goodness and mercy. It's a wonderful blessing, and it's a favoured position, and it's a position to covet in our lives. You know, we're encouraged to covet earnestly the best things. We are not to covet, but we are to covet the best things. And the best things is to walk in this way, with the evidence that God is teaching us and instructing us and enabling us to remember all the ways led us, so that our cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not be left alone. No, God goes with us. Sometimes we may fear, perhaps, the Lord will leave us. But my friends, he never leaves any of his sheep. We have the evidence, don't we, in the parables where the Lord Jesus, he went after the one that wandered away and brought that sheep back on his shoulders. His love is so great. Not one sheep is lost. We may wonder. God knows where we are. He knows where we've gone. And he goes after us. And he brings us back. We may be so affected. We haven't got strength to walk. He carried that sheep back on his shoulders. That shows the amazing goodness. goodness and mercy of God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Yes, not just one day. Every day. Every day. We are favoured to know that God's goodness and mercy is toward us. And then he comes down to this final and great and wonderful statement. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That may be a temptation sometimes to think, well, we shall never get to heaven. Well, we need sometimes, when we're tempted like that, to look back in our lives and to see what God has done for us and to be strengthened by it and to realize what God has spoken to us, what God has done for us, we could not have done for ourselves. It's all of his grace and it's all of his mercy. And why has he done it? To give to us that good hope through grace that it is well with our soul. And the reason, so that we can praise and honour and glorify his great and holy name for looking upon such an unworthy sinner and causing us to hear his voice. We are not to despise God's work. We are to bless God for it and to praise him for it. The word of God tells us, those that honour me, I will honour. And those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. It is our privilege to honour our God. And especially with this glorious prospect which is set before us. And David had this prospect and he's able to write it in these clear terms as he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. They're very positive words, aren't they? Surely and shall. Surely. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And if that is so, there can be no doubt, can there? That by the grace of God, you and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A long eternity to spend in singing God is love. Well, may we enjoy and prove the truth of this great and glorious word. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.